Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in Philippians 2, but before we go there, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we come before you seeking out your will, seeking out your wisdom, and seeking out your insights. We praise you for who you are, the creator of all, the one who made us and loves us, and the one whose words were and wisdoms and insight we're seeking. So, Holy Father, we come and ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us, to open our hearts and our minds. May we gain your wisdom and your understanding. May it all be from you, Lord, and nothing from me. I just thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So sometimes when I read, we're going through this and I'm reading chapters, and they're just so full of great insights. Sometimes I question, should we really be doing a chapter a day, or should we be doing almost a paragraph a day? But, and one of those chapters is chapter 2, Philippians. Just as for your own information, literally, A.W. Tozer has three different writings on verses in chapter 2. And Charles Spurgeon has just tons of sermons that he preached on Philippians 2. And all of the others have just immense amounts to say. But I'll leave the true jumping into the Bible study and the digging into the depths to you. This really, I want to make sure that we just keep going through our chapters a day and getting more and more of the word into us. And so anyways, with that said, let's jump into chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and one of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness, and being found in appearances as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Excuse me. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things are going with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. So, there's a lot there. And one of the things I want to just look at is one of the writings from Tozer. He focused on Philippians 2:9, which reads, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that was above every name." But before that, in verse 8, it also says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." Tozer writes, "The truth is that God has never planned that his children should live forever stretched upon a cross. Christ himself endured his cross for only 6 hours. When the cross had done its work, life entered and took over. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." So often I feel like I and others, we stay on the cross. We keep sitting there thinking, "Oh man, I just sinned again. I'm a mess up. I'm a screw up." And we beat ourselves up and we stay on the cross. And we need to understand, I need to understand that no, Christ was on that cross. He's only been on the cross one time. He doesn't keep going back for all of my shortcomings. Those shortcomings are forgiven. And I need to be forgiven within myself. I am my worst critic. Tozer goes on to write, "His joyful resurrection followed hard upon his joyless crucifixion. But the first had to come before the second. The life that halts short of the cross is but a fugitive and condemned thing, doomed at last to be lost beyond recovery. That life which goes to the cross and loses itself there to rise again with Christ is a divine and deathless treasure. Over it death hath no more dominion. Whoever refuses to bring his old life to the cross is but trying to cheat death, and no matter how hard we may struggle against it, he is nevertheless fated to lose his life at last. The man who takes his cross and follows Christ will soon find that his direction is away from the sepulchre. Death is behind him, and a joyous and increasing life before. His days will be marked henceforth not by ecclesiastical gloom, the churchyard, the hollow tone, the black robe, which are all but the cerements of a dead church, but by inexpressible and glorious joy. Real faith must always mean more than passive acceptance. It dare mean nothing less than surrender of our doomed Adam life to a merciful end upon the cross. That is, we want God's just sentence against our evil flesh and admit his right to end its unlovely career. We reckon ourselves to have been crucified with Christ and to have risen again to newness in life. Where such faith is, God will always work in line with our reckoning. Then begins the divine conquest of our lives. This God accomplishes by an effective seizing upon a sharp but love-impelled invasion of our natures. When he has overpowered our resistance, he binds us with the cords of love and draws us to himself. There, faint with his loveliness, we lie conquered and thank God again and again for the blessed conquest. There, with moral sanity restored, we lift up our eyes and bless the Most High God. Then we go forth in faith to apprehend that for which we were first apprehended of God. You see, when we die with Jesus on the cross, then we're resurrected again. And our past and our mistakes and our failures are gone. They're forgotten. And we then look forward with inexpressible and glorious joy. So often I stay on the cross. I forget the resurrection part. And I am hanging there in pain all the, you know, and not remembering, hey, you know, he got down off that cross. He was placed in the tomb and he resurrected. He rose again and life began. It's time for us to, it's time for me anyways, to remember that and have joy in the resurrection, the new life, because Jesus said, my yoke is light, my burden is easy. So come, Father, fill us with your joy. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for the joy, the inexpressible and glorious joy that's in that. I just pray today that our hearts and our spirits would be filled with your joy, that we could love you completely and fully in that joy, and we could then love our neighbors as ourselves again in your joy. Father God, I'm thankful for you. I love you. And I just pray that today would be a life lived that's worthy of you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.